KHOI.
Yeah, how's it going? Anything new going on out your way?
Well, my state's pretty quiet. I guess a couple states are in turmoil again tonight. It just gives people an excuse to riot and be foolish.
Yeah, Roger, I read a couple stories on that Breonna Taylor case. I guess they're only going to get one cop indicted for, I don't know, reckless endangerment or recklessness with a firearm. I guess he sounds like he panicked and fired some rounds into the neighbor's apartment. But they're not going to indict him for shooting at Breonna Taylor. I don't know. It's, you know, these cases are getting more and more bizarre. There's been some misreporting by the media. For one thing, they kept saying it was a no-knock warrant. Apparently it wasn't a no-knock warrant. They pounded at the door and were out there yelling police. And nobody answered, so they smashed the door down. The guy inside fired one shot, hit a cop. Then, of course, the cop opened up. I guess they shot him, but he didn't die. But that Breonna Taylor got killed. But I don't know, you know, now this guy, it ends up her other boyfriend apparently was the drug dealer that they were actually trying to arrest. The guy that was there with her that night wasn't a drug dealer, but I don't know, you know, when you hang around with drug dealers, that usually they're going to bring you trouble, and they brought her trouble. KAHJOY104FE.
Well, it was a no-knock warrant, but they did knock. No-knock warrants are dangerous. They're all dangerous. But when he fired a shot, then the police opened fire, and, you know, bullets go flying. Again, when you shoot at us, we're going to shoot back. Unfortunately, you can shoot randomly, and we have to account for him. So it does sound like he got a little carried away with 10 rounds. But again, they come out of that firearm pretty fast. So they really should charge the guy who shot the officers for her murder because he started the volley of gunfire. But nevertheless, it's just something to riot and protest over. If she'd have been white, there'd be nothing said over.
Yeah, Roger, ain't that the truth? Yeah, there's been a lot of cases where white people have been killed. I could think of a few that were ridiculous. I mean, I remember one drug case where somebody had called the police and said that people at one house were growing marijuana, so they busted into the house. And it was an older couple. They had nothing to do with any drug dealing or anything. And, of course, the older guy that lived there, he hears all this crashing and noise. So he walks, grabs his gun, and walks downstairs to see what the hell's going on. Well, the cops see him with a pistol, so they kill him. And it was a totally... I don't know whether it was mistaken identity or whether somebody was just being an ass, telling the police that these people were involved in drug dealing or something. They weren't. They were totally innocent. And, of course, though they were white, so what the hell's the media care about that? That's been maybe 7-8 years ago, but I remember that case. But it was in and out of the media. Probably, I don't even think the national media even reported on it.
No, because that doesn't have anything to protest and riot over. South of us in the city of Akron, they had a shootout, I think it was last night or two nights ago, and the two hooligans of dark persuasion shot and killed a 6-year-old. in that process. But we're not going to riot over that because it was black-on-black crime.
Yeah, Roger. Hey, Jesse's not going to be able to run the net. Do you want to run it tonight?
I kind of thought he was going to pass it to you, but I'll do it if you don't want to.
Well, you do it a lot better than I do. I'm not really in the swing. If you don't mind, I mean, if you'd rather not do it, I'll do it. But you guys do it better than I do.
Well, I don't want to slide you, but I would be happy to take it. If you let me know if that's what you want, that's what we'll do.
No, go ahead. It ain't gonna slight me. I'd rather somebody else do it. I know when I first got back on the air, there were rumors flying around from certain parties saying that I was wanting to take over the net, be the net control, and all this other crap. Nothing could be further from the truth. But, yeah, you do a lot better job than I do, Bob.
Well, I will be happy to take that role. Let me turn on the light, and it is, 2,200 hours. Sounds like a good time to start a net. What do you think there, Phil?
Sounds good to me.
All righty. So, good evening. I'm going to start it right off the bat here. Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current event discussion net on amateur radio now and since the year of 1974, founded by the one, the only, W1WCR. This is the Arium net, not the Pyrite net. Current event and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real Liberty net. With that being said, I have one check-in besides myself, and that's Mr. Bill, KO4FB. I'm looking for additional check-ins. CQ, come now. CQ, this is Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Ocean Yankee, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday night. I hope I didn't say Saturday night. For the Wednesday night Liberty Net, September 23rd, the month is almost over. Looking for check-ins, over.
I'll be all ears, KD0, RSA.
Hello, Mr. Mo, KD0, RSA. I just heard some people on 3919 talking about you from Nebraska, so you definitely get around, over.
I'll be all ears, I'll just be listening. Back to you, Bob.
Alrighty, well, it's a pleasure to hear your call. Thank you for checking in, and I'll let you be all ears tonight. CQ, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'm just going to open up real quickly on something that you brought up, Mr. Bill. The two possible choices out of the five, one being Judge Cody Barrett, and the other being Judge Barbara Lagoa, L-A-G-O-A, however you pronounce it. I understand that our president is going to make the nomination this Saturday, which ought to be exciting. And I know he's hoping for things to go smoothly, but it'll be interesting. He's going to nominate a woman. So now we're going to maybe hear that when she was 16, she let some bad boy get in her panties. So it ought to be fun to see how they twist this around, because the Democrats are going ballistics over they think it's Joe Biden's responsibility. Well, Joe Biden's not the president, so it's not his responsibility. And the other article I'm just going to bring up before I move on is it's out of Western Journal. For the past several months, the Minneapolis City Council has been working to defund and even abolish the city's police department. After a recent surge in violent crime, some council members appear to have realized they need the help of the police. During a two-hour council meeting on Reform Tuesday, that had been last Tuesday, council members relayed their worries to the Minneapolis police chief. And among the council members, the fact that many of their constituents are seeing dangerous crimes, carjacking, street racing, robberies, assaults, and even shootings have become more prevalent. Residents are asking, quote, and unquote, where are the police? After the newly elected council, Jamal Osmond, a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. This is the only public safety option they have at the moment, MPD. They rely on MPD, and they are nowhere to be seen. Well, of course, you want to fire them or discipline them. You don't want them to arrest people. You're not going to see them. So how's that working out for you, Minneapolis? Not very well. So with that being said, I'm going to ask one more time for check-ins. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Julie Ocean Yankee, looking for check-ins. Over. Nothing hurts, or Mr. Bill, I'll pass it to you. You've got a signal of almost 40 over here in Akron. Over.
Okay, K-A-A-J-O-Y, LibertyNet from KO4FE. Let's see, what am I doing here? I'm bouncing right off of the legal limits. So anyway, here's a bizarre case. Unhinged Quebec woman Pascal Ferrier identified a suspect in case of ricin letter sent to Trump White House. A female suspect was arrested by Customs and Border Patrol agents trying to enter the United States from Canada. New York Times reported on Saturday that authorities were seeking an unidentified Canadian woman suspect. A letter addressed to President Trump was intercepted Saturday by federal agents. Quebec officials identified Pascal Ferrier as the suspect in the case of the ricin letter sent to President Trump last week. They got a mugshot here of this woman. She looks like a total lunatic. She looks like some kind of lesbian. She's got a butch haircut, wearing a t-shirt, no makeup. I think she's some kind of a lesbian. She also sent a ricin letter to Texas officials. But anyway, let me see if there's anything else going on. But anyway, so she mailed the damn letter all the way from Canada and then tried to come into the United States. I'm not sure what that was about, why she would be trying to get into the United States if she mailed a letter that had ricin in it. But I don't know. She's obviously another left-wing lunatic. I guess they're besides themselves since Ruth Bader Buzzy Ginsburg died. They're going nuts over that. And I think the Democrats have kind of, you know, when she first died, there was all kind of hysterical comments about, you know, how Trump shouldn't appoint anybody, and Ginsburg wanted another president. You know, who cares about all that? They got the votes now. They're going to put somebody else in. Who it is, I don't know. There's that Amy Barrett. There's the Cuban woman. And then there's another one, who I think would be even better, and that's that Allison Russian. She's more conservative than either of those two, and she looks to have a pretty good track record. So maybe it'll be Allison Russian. She's out of North Carolina. Her name hadn't been mentioned much, but she is on the short list, and she is obviously a woman, so maybe Trump will surprise us. All right, here's another story, you know, and this is, I attribute this to the media hysteria and the anti-white attitudes that you see all over the place, getting blacks all wound up. And these kind of attacks seem to be happening more and more. Well, anyway, let's get into this story. Man 25 viciously assaults lone female rider 29 in unprovoked attack on Miami Metro, where he punched her more than 20 times, kicked her, slammed her head before beating two more men that same day. Says the, and I, there's a video of it. I mean, this guy just walked into the bus, and this woman, they don't know each other. She's just sitting there minding her own business, and he just started attacking her. It was all on video. So anyway, a Miami Metro rider has been caught on camera viciously assaulting a lone female traveler in an unprovoked random attack. Did I mention that the guy is black and the woman is white? That's probably why it didn't get any media attention. But anyway, Joshua James King, 25, is accused of beating up Andrea Perto, 29, during the incident on September 4th, leaving her with a concussion, a broken rib, and bruises. Surveillance video shows King walking onto the Metro before launching the sustained attack on Perto. The clip shows him kick her, slam her head, and punch her more than 20 times. Perto told Local 10, she says, "I remember that I closed my hands and said, 'Stop, stop.' He did not stop. There was a moment when he said, 'Sorry,' and I looked at him and he punched me, and after that, I don't know what happened." She said of her attacker, "I've never seen him in my life. I never knew him until that moment." After passing out, Perta managed to get up and leave the train before calling 911, footage shows. Her attacker remained on the Metro, where he is said to have assaulted two more men later that day. Then there's a picture of him. He looks like a real dirtbag. And then the woman, she's all busted up on the side of her face, got bruises all over her arms. Says King was released and is now facing three counts of aggravated battery charges. He was released on a $1,500 bond. Is that all? $1,500? For something like that? Three different people he attacked and they let him out on $1,500? I mean, my God, $1,500, you get that much for what? Getting caught on a DUI? Anyway, pictures of Perta's injury show the attack left her with a black eye and a swollen jaw. She said, "I don't know how I'm alive." A GoFundMe page is set up to help her out on her medical bills. And then it goes on to, let's see. Yeah, he pushed her across the car, launched her head first into one of the seats. The dad of one, King, the perpetrator, was arrested later that day and is now facing three counts of aggravated battery charges. Yeah, the woman's ears bleeding. Yeah, she got, this guy was just really, here they got him handcuffed. Fortunately, they caught the son. Here's another one. Similar situation. Black Lives Matter activist walked into Louisville bar and murdered three people. It's even worse. Black male walked into a Louisville bar and shot three random people all at point-blank range on Friday night. The suspect was smiling ear to ear as he was arrested for the shooting at Bungalow Joe's Bar and Grill. Michael E. Rhines, Jr., 33, was arrested after midnight Saturday after police found him crawling in the brush near the restaurant, according to a report from WDRB. Nobody had ever seen this guy before, the owner of the bar, Joe Bishop, told WDRB, referring to the shooter. It's a totally random act. He explained that the men did not exchange words at any time prior to the shooting. Let's see. Here he tweeted out. He says, let me set the record straight. This is the owner of the bar speaking here. He says, last night a deranged or drugged up person walked into my patio at Bungalow Joe's, walked over to a group of my regulars and employees who were enjoying themselves, and he shot three people point blank. There was no motivation, no altercation, no fight. He indiscriminately shot and killed three people for no reason. I had many of my employees and customers sitting there that are now forever traumatized. I lost a good friend, and my manager lost a man she was going to marry. The two other customers were extremely well liked by all my staff. Please say a prayer for their families. And anyway, it said, Torion Jermaine Hudson, 26, and William Scott Smallwood, 48, were pronounced dead at the scene. While Stephen Matthew Head, 24, died from his injuries at University Hospital. One of the victims was the fiance of the bar manager, and all three of the men worked together. One of the victims was black, the other two was white. Police have not yet announced the killer's motivation for the attack. Funny how it happened in Louisville. Really, now you can't even sit down at a restaurant or a bar, or you can't even ride the damn metro without being randomly attacked. This is the situation created by the hate-mongering media. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
KO4FE, KHOI. Every time I go into a restaurant, I plan where I'm seated. My spouse kind of gets annoyed, and I tell her, hey, if you want to be with me here, this is what we do. I mean, you plan on where you're being seated so that you won't be the first person that they see in the door, but you can see them coming through the door. So that's important to me. Let me see if I get any additional check-ins before I go to another article. This is KAAJOY, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Wow, Slim Pickens. Well, I know Mr. Moe's out there, so I'm just going to say hi again to you, KD0RSA. I know you're in the listening mode, so I'm just going to say howdy, howdy. I have an article from Trending Politics. I won't read the whole thing because it's pretty long, but Florida governor introduces tough new law to protect the police and punish the rioters. Speaking at the Polk County Sheriff's Office, Santa made it clear that Florida is not New York, not Portland, and it's not Seattle. And those engaging in unlawful protests that have terrorized helpless citizens elsewhere can expect to be hit with severe penalties. The Combating Violence, Disorders, Looting, the Law Enforcement Protection Act calls for stiff penalties against those harassing citizens, destroying property, striking law enforcement officers, including the throwing of projectiles. Also in that piece of legislation, I'm trying to find it real quick, but I don't see where it is. If it's a group such as Antifa or Black Lives Matter, and they start charging the people, they're going to use the RICO Act for federal crimes, which would make it a lot stiffer penalties, and it causes some tremendous financial burdens. So that should be interesting. I hope it he's successful, because just a couple states up from Florida, the state of Virginia made assaulting a peace officer a misdemeanor. It's like a $150 fine for assaulting a peace officer. So definitely so many different aspects. I was listening to another net earlier, and the gentleman's in Minnesota, and he said Minnesota is a liberal state. We can tell that because Ilhan Omar is their representative. However, They're a tremendous Second Amendment state, which is kind of odd. You've got the Second Amendment and the Liberal Democrats. However, it passed, their CCW permit passed under a Democratic governor. So, kind of strange. I guess some of them still do have a conscience, but not many. So, let me see if anybody else checked in. I'll go back to Bill. This is KAJOY, looking for check-ins. Over.
N4ROQ checking in.
There's Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. Good evening. Are you ready to give us some information?
Give me just a little time there. I'll be there.
All righty. I'll pass it back to Bill, and then I'll pass it over to you. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All righty, Mr. Williams, KO4FD. What do you have for us next? Over.
Oh, I always got plenty, but I think there was another check-in that was came in. I think him and Larry doubled. Who's that other check-in?
Check-in that Mr. Bill's talking about. This is KAJOY.
I don't hear him. Maybe it was some of that splash. But
yeah,
anyway,
keeping
going on these
3998, so it might
here's
be
here's another one, Gateway Pundit.
You're next. Go ahead.
Angry black leftist smacks 84-year-old white female Trump supporter across the face at Trump rally in Aliso, Viejo, beats another white senior citizen. A 33-year-old man, later identified as Alvin Gary Shaw, was arrested after he beat at least two senior citizens, including an 84-year-old woman, at a pro-Trump rally in Aliso, Viejo. The irate leftist pulled back and smacked the 84-year-old woman across the face. This was after he burned her Trump sign. Let me see. Then another person was knocked to the ground by the man while he was trying to help a third victim. One of them was taken to a local hospital. According to Sheriff's Office, Alvin Gary Shaw was taken into custody on suspicion of elder abuse, assault with a deadly weapon, and assault and battery after allegedly attacking three people in attendance. So at least they got the guy. A retired police officer had gotten involved and pulled his gun on as the man attempted to run from the scene. So anyway, at least they got this dirtbag, another one. Okay, here we go. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court had ruled previously that they were going to allow 3 days for ballots to be counted in the state, which is a direct violation of the state law, which says the ballots have to be counted by midnight on election night. So I don't know how the Supreme Court, well, I do know how it's dominated 5-2 by Democrats, but that's why they did it, but it's not in accordance with the law. So anyway, a follow-up story to that, a Pennsylvania legislature prepares federal lawsuit to challenge mail voting rulings. The Pennsylvania House Majority Leader, Kerry Benninghoff, Republican, revealed to Breitbart News Saturday that they will sue to block the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's ruling that would allegedly create opportunities for fraud to benefit former Vice President Joe Biden. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued three rulings on Thursday, extended the deadline for mail-in ballots to Friday after Election Day, ruled voters could use drop boxes to return mail-in ballots, and removed the Green Party's presidential ticket from the ballot. obviously to help the Democrats. Democrats are reportedly expected to vote in far larger numbers by mail than Republicans, who will reportedly vote more in person. Philadelphia Inquirer wrote these rulings would likely aid former Vice President Joe Biden. Well, no, that's why they did it. Benninghoff decried the state Supreme Court rulings, charging it would not only make Pennsylvanians vote insecure, but also lead to fraud that would benefit the Biden campaign. Yeah, all fraud benefits the Democrats. That's a pretty much a standard rule. He says, well, sadly, they're really, in my opinion, jeopardizing every person's vote and the security of that vote. I think it's ironic that the Democrat Party wants to be the party perceived to be about openness and diversity, but yet they work very hard to kick a third-party candidate, the Green Party candidate, off the ballot. Benninghoff told Breitbart News Saturday. He added the rulings would allow people to exploit opportunities for fraud is only to help Joe Biden. These kinds of things should outrage the average voter. It's just not right to be changing the game plays in the middle of the game is ridiculous. We don't want election night to turn into election week or election month, Benninghoff said regarding the extended mail vote deadline. It's self-evident to me that it's all about trying to steal the election and take away your vote. Benninghoff then revealed the State House of Representatives plans to petition the Supreme Court to issue a stay of state Supreme Court rulings and sue in federal court against the rulings. Benninghoff contended the state legislature should have jurisdiction over election law, not Democrat Governor Tom Wolf and the state Supreme Court. Boyle noted the petition to the Supreme Court would go to Justice Sam Alito. Well, that's good. He says, we believe that you people elect your representatives, you elect your Senate, and by your own statute and law of the Constitution. It's the legislature that deals with election law, not the governor's office or the courts, as we've seen too often. These courts want to legislate and interpret the law. That's right. It's the separation of powers, and I think the federal courts need to step up and take this case and speak out loudly across America that separation of powers are there for a reason, and if they want to be legislators, they ought to run for the legislature, not the judge positions. And I'm hoping the federal courts will rule in our favor, he explained. Well, anyway, that confirms what I got from my local rep that I called. He said they're going to all the way to the Supreme Court if they have to. Here's another one. This is off of Zero Hedge. Princeton study finds BLM responsible for 91% of riots over the last month, 3 months. Well, you can't complain. That's a right-wing source, Princeton University. That's just another one, another liberal war camp, which otherwise were called colleges. It says a new study by Princeton University's U.S. Crisis Monitor shows that the U.S. experienced 637 riots between May 26th and September 12th, and 91 of these riots were linked to Black Lives Matter. Wonder why they're not under investigation or being prosecuted by the RICO Act. In other words, BLM was responsible for 9 out of 10 riots across the country. Riots are defined by the project as demonstrations in which any demonstrators engage in violent, disruptive, or destructive acts. Violence, looting, vandalism, etc., as well as mob violence in which violent mobs target other individuals, property, businesses, or other groups. mainstream media talking heads have repeatedly asserted that the riots were either not happening or any large scale or were, quote, mostly peaceful. The statistics, you know, it's like saying the mafia is mostly peaceful because they're not constantly killing people or doing hits or whatever. That's just another leftist lie term. Anyway, the statistics suggest otherwise. Despite attempts to spin the riots as peaceful protests, more and more Americans aren't buying it. The majority of U.S. adults, 55%, now express at least some support for the movement, down from 67% in June, amid nationwide demonstrations sparked by the death of George Floyd. Well, I'm surprised even 55, it ought to be 5. If we were living in a country with people that had IQs above 50, I mean, how can anybody support these riots? So anyway, it says when one considers the level of intimidation and bullying metered out to those who refuse to express support for BLM, the real figures are probably much lower in terms of support for Black Lives Matter. It's no surprise that Democrats like Nancy Pelosi are only now condemning the riots, arson, and looting after 4 months of mayhem. After initially ignoring or justifying the violence, Democrats have seen the polls and performed a 180. Well, some of them have, but not AOC or the other ones. I saw where Linda Sarsour, I mean, she's not elected, obviously, but she's a mouthpiece for the left. Yeah, she says Louisville, they need to have more riots down there than this Breonna Taylor. Oh, God. Well, anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Again, if you don't associate with criminals and crime and drugs, you most likely won't be in a position to get shot. I had one of my coworkers send me a picture of Pearl Harbor, and it said it was a mostly Japanese peaceful protest, and it's a picture of our ships are burning. Which is kind of like that's what they say, you know, that downtowns are on fire, but they're peaceful protesters. Hogwash. Mr. Larry, it is up to you. N4ROQ, are you ready, sir? Over.
Yeah, I'll be ready. Whatever.
Yeah, you're on deck. Over.
All right. This lady from, let's see, New York City, the border center, Gordon Rice and the White House, that it was intercepted. Says woman held in mailing of poison to U.S. This is in the Associated Press. I heard it 2 days ago. A woman suspected a terror envelope containing a poison license. At the New York Canada border, and is also suspected of sending similar poison envelopes to law enforcement agencies in Texas. Officials said Monday the letter has been intercepted earlier this week before it reached the White House. The woman was taken into custody by U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers near Buffalo. Is expected to face federal charges. Three law enforcement officials told the Associated Press her name was not immediately released, but the woman was expected to appear in federal court in Buffalo on Tuesday. The letter addressed to the White House appears to have been originated in Canada. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police has said envelopes containing ricin were also mailed law enforcement agencies in South Texas. is according to law enforcement officials. And Mr. Knows the money in South Texas also.
Antagonist, that's what the ground is.
Antagonist. The defense chief heads to the U.S. to discuss military edge. Israeli Defense Ministries Minister Benny Grant, V-A-N-T-J, headed to Washington on Monday to file for the U.S. counterpart on maintaining Israel's qualitative military edge following its normalization agreement with the United Arab Emirates. The UAE has made no secret about its desire to acquire F-35 warplanes and other advanced U.S.-made weaponry. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu initially said he opposed the sale of the planes to any other nation in the region, but since then he's changed his mind. Okay. This is U.S. Attorney General Barr announces $100 million more to combat human trafficking. U.S. Attorney General William Barr says the government will award more than $100 million in grants to target human trafficking. The money will go to task forces combating human trafficking, to victim services, and to victim housing. Barr made the announcement Monday in Atlanta with presidential advisor Ivanka Trump and Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. It's only by cooperating with our partners, our state and local partners, and those in the private sector that we're going to be able to make any progress. Under the Centers for Disease Control, Vaccine Walkback on Airborne Transmission of COVID-19, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has changed its guidance on transmission Friday, reverse field on Monday. On Friday, the CDC updated its website to 26 feet. That might not keep people safe, and ventilation is key to keeping transmission indoors. On Monday, the website switched back to the previous information that the spread is primarily between people who are in close contact within about 6 feet through respiratory droplets produced by an infected person caught.
I'll let nobody come around near me. I'll let nobody come around near me. Stay away from me. They can't go nowhere to come around me. I swear.
USA Today. And I think I might have covered this one regarding the last myth, but I'm not sure. This is regarding the Earth's magnetic field may cause damage to satellites. And the article is in
I call
USA Today.
That's what I call
the Earth's magnetic field over South America and the southern Atlantic Ocean. NASA says it can cause big headaches for satellites. The South Atlantic Anomaly, or SAA, the South Atlantic Anomaly, an unusual weak spot in Earth's magnetic field, is growing, splitting into two lobes. For Earthlings, the SAA, which is the South Atlantic Anomaly, creates no noticeable harm on the ground, but in space, the anomaly is like a pothole for satellites and spacecraft. Earth's magnetic field acts like a protective shield around the planet, repelling and trapping charged particles from the sun. NASA said in a news release Monday that the SAA allows these particles to dip closer to the surface than normal. According to NASA, particle radiation may interfere with onboard computers and data collection in space.
Oh, I gotta go to sleep.
If a satellite is hit by high-energy protons, it can lead to temporary or permanent damage, triggering protective shutdowns by operators
Satellites fly through the FAA, so it's going to sound good for our phones and our cell phones and all that, which a lot of this stuff is on from all these satellites up there. Spacecraft like the International Space Station also pass through the FAA. The FAA is caused by two features from the Earth's core: the flow of molten metals and tilt of the magnetic axis. NASA scientists want to study the abnormality to better understand how the planet is changing and to help create a sense of future.
We gotta watch that thing. Watch it at
home. Breaking, lighting, breaking. It's going through some change in
technology. I've been watching it every night. He's blinking, making blinking noise. He's blinking up here. I'm telling you. I can see it.
Said in a statement Monday.
Something they're doing, something.
Just depends on how bad this could be. It might knock out a lot of our stuff in other countries, too. We'll hold it right here and see if we can shoot back up there to you, Bob. It's kind of good down here tonight. And Bill's kind of great also. We'll be standing by. N4LQ, back to that. KJY, N4LQ.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, this is KJY. You touched on something, and I'm going to just add a little bit to it. This week, there was a task force between Cleveland, Toledo, and Columbus, and they recovered 35 missing and endangered children between the ages of 13 and 18, of which 25% of them were actually involved in sex trafficking. So that was kind of they've, I guess, worked a bunch on locating and getting these people in position to make these arrests for and recover these children. So a tremendous problem that we have with young people being trafficked, but kind of at 13 to 18. Wow, what a space. This is KJY looking for any additional check-ins for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Please come now. Nothing to hurt. I'm going to say hi to Mo again, KDO80RSA. I know you're in the listening mode. You don't have to answer. I just want to say we're still thinking that you're there. So with that being said, I'm going to jump up to Mr. Bill again. KO4FE, KAJOY.
All right. Contact there for a minute.
Go ahead.
I heard someone trying to check in there on this end. I'm not sure. Why you're not, Bob.
I'll
try again. Thanks for checking.
All righty. This is KHJOY, the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Do I have any late check-ins, over?
Okay, just listening. Okay, Bob.
Alrighty, I can barely hear him above the noise, but I did hear that his name was Bill. Alright, WA4CDM, thank you for checking in. I'll put you on the list as a listening only. With that being said, I'm going to jump back up to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KHOI.
Okay, KAHJOY, LibertyNet, KO4FE. Okay, well, here's an interesting story. Fox News, group led by Black Lives Matter founder, is fiscally sponsored project of pro-China organization. The Black Futures Lab is a fiscally sponsored project of the Chinese Progressive Association. So here we go. All the liberals are always talking about Russia. Well, here's, we got a link between Black Lives Matter and China. Anyway, let's get into this story. A group led by one of the founders of Black Lives Matter has ties to a progressive pro-China organization that acts as a fiscal sponsor to the group, according to a new report by a conservative think tank. Black Futures Lab, which says it works with black people to transform our communities, building black political power and changing the way that power operates locally, statewide, and nationally, headed by Alicia Garza, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. But a new Heritage Foundation investigation found that the Black Futures Lab website says the group is a project of the pro-China group called the Chinese Progressive Association. Black Futures Lab is fiscally sponsored project of the Chinese Progressive Association. The donate section of the website says clicking on the banner of the page takes the user to the CPA website. The CPA was founded in 1972 and says it educates, organizes, and empowers the low-income and working-class immigrant Chinese community in San Francisco to build collective power with other oppressed communities to demand better living and working conditions and justice for all people, close quote. But the Heritage Foundation describes it as an organization that has long supported the communist government in Beijing. Oh, a connection between communist China and communist Black Lives Matter. How shocking. Anyway, continuing, from its start, it has been a promoter of the People's Republic of China, the report says. Neither Black Futures Lab nor the Chinese Progressive Association responded to requests for comments from Fox News. The Heritage investigation found that the Boston chapter teamed up with the Chinese Consulate General in New York to offer Chinese nationals to renew passports, picking up praise from the Chinese state media, and has sponsored the Chinese flag flying over Boston City Hall to honor the Chinese Revolution. Yeah, the Communist Revolution. So they want the Boston City Hall to put up a communist flag. Anyway, also cites an essay by one of the CPA's co-founders in which they called for a so-called revolutionary strategy to achieve a fundamentally different society. Yeah, they want to destroy America. That's what that is. It's just a euphemism for destroy America. The report also found that the CPA picked up praise recently again from the Chinese state media for taking part in the Black Lives Matter protests in San Francisco. Communist China has put its vast propaganda apparatus to work in support of the mayhem that has wreaked havoc in the American cities this year, the Heritage Foundation's Mike Gonzalez wrote in his report. China is, after all, rival to the United States. It would see weakening of the U.S. society and country in general as advantageous. The involvement of an outfit is closely associated with the Chinese government in funding one of Garza's ventures is something else entirely. However, he says, well, you can guess that CNN's not going to pick up on this story. There's a direct link from the communist Chinese government to Black Lives Matter, but they're not going to report on that. But yet they'll concoct all kind of conspiracy theories about Russia. But naturally, the left is never going to attack another communist country. You notice they only care about Russia after communism was dispensed with in Russia. Before communism went down in Russia, the left loved Russia. Now everything bad is because of Russia. But, of course, China's not doing anything. They're indirectly causing riots and destruction and mayhem, but that's fine with the left because that's what they want. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-8-J-O-Y, Liberty Net, K-O-4-F-E.
K-O-4-F-E, K-A-J-O-Y. I Googled about the black population, are they in China? And I got an article about a black foreigner. He's a in China teaching English, and they won't use his first name because of retaliation from the government. Shame we don't have that problem here. But it talks about that the Chinese government has been accusing the blacks of bringing the coronavirus to China. Says in the past couple weeks, things have changed drastically. Andrew, who has been teaching in the southern metropolis, I couldn't even pronounce the name, told ABC News, he asked that ABC only use his first name, as he and his employer are weary of the risk of retaliation from Chinese authorities as being in their country. So, why don't they have Black Lives Matter over there and riot carry on? What do you think, over?
Yeah, Roger. I mean, there you got an innocent black person being accused of bringing the coronavirus to China. I mean, that's a ludicrous. I mean, believe me, I think that's one thing that you can't blame on any black people is bringing the Chinese virus to China. But anyway, I'll pass it back to you, Bob. Thanks for taking the net tonight. And 73s, everybody checked in. But anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-A-J-O-Y, Liberty Net, K-O-4-F-E.
All righty, Bill. Well, let me go back to Larry and see what he's got for another article. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, K-H-O-Y. What else you have, sir?
Not his article. I'm glad Charles did something about this. This anarchist indignation. Cities that such as Portland. To get it from the horse's mouth. There's a U.S. assigned anarchist designation to three cities. Only a federal powers of threat. Washington, the Justice Department on Monday singled out Portland, Oregon, New York City, and Seattle as anarchist jurisdictions. Cities that the Trump administration said have allowed violence to persist during months of civil demonstrations over racial injustice and police brutality and could lose federal funding. The designation of the three cities led by Democrats was in response to President Donald Trump's September the 2nd executive order, which threatened to withhold funding from cities where the administration
had studied a local official cut police funding, refused office for help from the federal government, and failed to rein in violence. This is great. This is really great. This is what these liberal Democrats from this doing as they want to do. And not allow federal tax dollars to be wasted when the safety of the citizens hangs in the balance. It is my hope that the cities identified by the Department of Justice today will reverse course and become serious about performing the basic function of government and start protecting their own citizens. This is Attorney General William Moore saying this. The mayors of the three cities criticized the move as a political stunt to punish Democratic cities beside by crisis amid a deadly pandemic and accusing the Trump administration of doing this. New York's Corporation Council Office officials will sue the Trump administration if it withholds federal funding. The Seattle Mayor Jimmy Durkin is threatening to withhold federal funding as a gross misuse of federal power. This is after them. We're trying to withhold federal money for this lady doing that is in the federal misuse of federal power. This lady is the one that's misusing the power. Okay, let's see what else it says here, guys. It's a little bit long. I don't want to read it all, but it says, in a joint statement that follows Trump's executive order, members of Portland, Seattle, and New York, and Washington, D.C., said the cities and citizens are not the president's political pawns, and withholding federal funding would be illegal. Then Trump's executive order also singled out Washington, D.C., although the Justice Department on Monday did not designate the district an anarchist jurisdiction. So there's going to be a lot of suing going back and forth here, but Trump wants to, and Barr wanted to get this thing straightened out and keep all this Black Lives Matter from burning down all these cities. So hopefully, if these mayors and governors aren't going to take care of the state, then they're not going to get the funding to build everything back and to reduce the police and the police force there and so forth. So I'm fully for the president on that. All right, here's another one regarding Second Amendment regarding the election. So emergency put Second Amendment center stage. At virtually every stop on the campaign trail, President Donald Trump has sought to strike an emotional chord in audiences with familiar warning. Sleepy Joe is going to take your gun away. Trump declared at a rally in Minnesota on Friday night, disparaging his political rival on Democratic efforts to tighten firearm control. The death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has injected fresh urgency into Trump's speaking and one of America's most divisive struggles. Sunday, 2 days after the passing of the 87-year-old jurist, Trump turned up the heat, appealing to gun owners in the final stretch of the campaign, save your Second Amendment, vote Trump. Nowhere does the tension resonate more than at the counter of gun dealers and trade shows. With the political climate, a rolling racial justice movement, and a fear driven by the relentless COVID-19 pandemic, push gun sales to record levels. The FBI, responsible for conducting background checks on prospective buyers, acknowledges that surging sales push its citizens to the limit. Trump has pitched at least part of his re-election bid as a promise to assemble a Supreme Court that would serve as a backstop for a constellation.
Dixie Chris Brown, president of the Brady campaign. Gun safety is on the ballot in November. That's exactly right. They've already got, as far as I know, 2,000 or more gun laws already on the books, and they're still wanting more. They still want to keep playing around with all this. This is noting Ginsburg has a long career as a legal trailblazer. Brown said the loss is overshadowed by the reality that has seen in potentially the fate of sensible gun laws in America. Now rests in the hands of Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the President Trump. Those laws and the hard-earned progress that activists and concerned citizens have won for generations are now in jail. Bills along the Supreme Court ducked it last term. The first major Second Amendment case is nearly a decade when the court weighed a challenge to the New York City's ban on transporting legally owned guns outside city limits. Gun rights groups argued that the prohibition was too restrictive and effectively barred gun owners from taking firearms to shooting ranges or to vacation homes beyond city limits. It is New York City. You can't even take your gun out of the city, it looks like. In April, the court voided the case by ruling that New York's repeal of the restriction rendered the case closed. See if I can go on to check out some of the National Rifle Association, which supported the cash decline comment. The president is in a meeting to discuss school safety measures today, moving on to there. Let's see, that pretty much already said that. Trump says, I protected your Second Amendment rights, he told an audience last month in Arlington, Virginia. Did you think that was easy for the last 4 years? We felt totally strong, and it's always going to be that way with us. But if they, the Democrats, get in, they will absolutely either obliterate it to a point of no return or actually terminate it. And I have no doubt about it, and he's exactly right. The Democrats are being real careful on what they're saying right now. But if they get in there, they want us to do whatever they can do to possibly get rid of the Second Amendment rights. The Biden campaign has offered no such proposal, but the former vice president does advocate for restriction. And let's see what else. Ban on manufacture and sale of weapons of high capacity magazines. Biden was a Delaware senator. He pushed to establish a 10-year ban on certain weapons. And that has expired in 2004. He said that if he elected president, he would create a combat program for weapons of circulation. Okay, that's pretty much it. But it looks like, of course, that the Democrats, in all their debates, they talked about getting rid of especially certain weapons that they want to get out of circulation. They want and possibly all weapons. I'll take all the Second Amendment rights away from any kind of people. So if you got a chance to buy some guns and get some ammo, it might be a good time to do it. So back to that, Bob. This is KJY from N4ROQ Radio in Tennessee. Back to that.
You're right, Larry. It is, if you haven't already gathered up firearms and ammunition, it would be the time. So, and what is Beto, what's it, Beto O'Rourke said, hell yes, we're going to take your gun. And you confess that if by any chance Biden gets in, that'll boil up in the cabinet. But I believe there's enough people that have sense that President Trump will win again. With that being said, how about if we do a real quick ending round? And I'll jump up back up to you, Bill, for your last comments. KO4FE, KAJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, KO4FE. Well, I was just checking the news. Two cops have been shot in Louisville. One, they call it a life-threatening injury. He was treated. The other one's in surgery, but expected to be okay. And then a third cop was shot in Atlanta, Georgia. He's in critical condition. And I guess there's been some civilians that have been shot with this stuff. You got, it's going on right now in Washington, D.C., Louisville. Where else? I had the article up here. Well, anyway, Washington, D.C., Louisville, Atlanta, and a couple other places. So anyway, that's the latest. KAHJOY, KO4FE.
It's amazing. I have no other words. It is a dangerous job. It is an enjoyable job. But now people are just looking to indiscriminately shoot and kill law enforcement officers for no reason. Kind of sad. Mr. Larry, your final thoughts. N4ROQ, KAJLY.
Okay, Bob. Yeah, I think it turns out that Louisville, I don't know how those officers that were shot by that hero the other day that was blown up and came in and shot through the window. There's a lady and a man if they're okay now, or I know they're still probably going through surgery. They got shot several times. But that was put out there. They had a video of that. So, let's see if I've got anything else. If not, I sure thank you for the run in the net. I got in a little bit late, but I'm glad I got in. And it's good to hear people did check in, and always great to be able to share your free speech on here. And I always enjoy it, especially when you're running, Bob, so you do a great job. I'll just go ahead and thank you, thank you. Thanks again, and from Larry and Tennessee and 4ROQ, back to Ned.
All righty, Larry. Well, thank you. Bill, KO4FE, thanks for being here. Larry, N4ROQ. Mr. Moe, if you're still listening, good evening to you. KD0RSA. And Bill down in Tennessee, WA4CDM. With that being said, I will close the window on this night's Liberty Net. I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, and 73 to all of tonight's Liberty Netters. 73 is to Mr. Victor, W1WCR. 73 is to Marty, N2IRJ. 73 is to Miss Laura, N2JTTF. And if Ted is listening and recording here in Ohio, 73 is to KB8TRK. It is my prayer for God to bless America and for him to be with our law enforcement officers, our firefighters, our medics, and our military. Good night to all. Thank you for joining. 73.